This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 215 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. Now, we are recording live from the Expo Hall here in Cherokee, North Carolina, for the 2018 North Carolina Public Safety Communications Conference. Man, that was a lot to say there. And as always, this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So my guest today, you know, I usually tell a story really quick, but I'm just going to jump into it because why not? Why the hell not? Let's change it up a little bit. So my guest today are Laurel. She's with telecommunications. She's a telecommunicator and an ATAC trainer, as well as Susan, who is sergeant and shift supervisor, both from Rutherford County 911 Communications. How's it going?
Going well.
Doing nice.
All right. Excellent. So I have to say that, I guess I have to ask, so are both of you from the state? Like, you've born and raised here in North Carolina?
No, I'm not.
No?
I moved to North Carolina when I was 15 from California.
Oh.
So I'm a transplant. Shit.
Okay. Yeah. All right then. Well, I was going to ask, how much do you deal with hurricanes? Because there's like an impending doom on its way in Florence.
Not a whole lot.
No? Not really?
Not a whole lot. We get a lot of the typical storms, mm-hmm. that the winds and the rain, but not a lot of this.
Right. This craziness that seems to be headed this way. Oh, man.
The run out and get the milk and bread and water.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I still don't get that.
Unless it's wintertime.
I don't get that.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that, okay, so in Fort Wayne, the last time, that's where I live in Fort Wayne out of Indiana. And the last time we had anything where we had to go get water or something, it was because the water supply, they had one of those like boiling type things where you got to boil the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that there's nothing, you know, no contaminants or anything. And I got out of work and I went to the grocery store because I thought I should probably get some extra water or something just in case. It was gone. Everything was gone. And I get there and people, they had signs up and they say, we're out of water. I thought, what the hell?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You know, when there's snowstorms coming, you know, it's milk and bread. I don't get it. In California, pending storms, fires, earthquakes, it's liquor and chocolate.
Hey.
You know?
I mean, I guess if you're going to go out
yeah,
happy, right?
Exactly.
I'd rather go out with chocolate and liquor than
milk and bread.
Milk and bread. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. Probably rather get some teepee other than the milk and bread. I don't know. Well, so we've got that going. Hopefully out of nowhere ends up doing a pivot and gets out of Dodge or something, but
I noticed that the news forecast this morning kept saying pivot, and all I can think of was Ross from Friends.
Right.
Pivot.
Yes. Pivot.
Yeah, that's all I could think. And I'm thinking, everybody is taking off. That is a new movement right now. The pivot.
Yes, exactly. The pivot. Well, maybe tonight at the hospitality, during that time, that dance will come out and people will say, it's the pivot.
Well, yeah.
Pivot. So I have to tell you, I got here yesterday, and as soon as I got here at the actual conference, it's been pretty awesome. I mean, everybody here is really nice, and just the time that we all spent last night in the hospitality portion of this, it seems like everybody is kind of like family, too. Like,
yeah.
Everybody seems to know each other, and I love going to conferences like that. There are some conferences that I've been to where it seems kind of clicky, you know,
yeah.
and not everyone is with each other, you know? So here, I mean, everybody was there together and just having a good time, and it was really good. So
Susan was there last night.
Uh-huh.
I went upstairs and took a bath because I have two small kids.
Uh-huh.
I don't ever get to do that. So she enjoyed last night.
Nice. Hey, well, it sounds like the both of you enjoyed something.
Yes.
Because, I mean, hey, That's pretty awesome. Very relaxing.
Yes.
Very relaxing. So I want to know a little more about the both of you. I want to know how you got into dispatching to begin with. Whichever one of you wants to start.
Okay, I'll go first. Since I talked Susan into this, I will go first. I will be the guinea pig.
Oh, this is awesome.
I knew growing up that I wanted to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. 5 years old, that's all I wanted to do. When I turned 21, you know, looking into BLET, that was where I was going to be. That was my heart. Didn't even think about 911. Flash forward to June of 2006, and I was getting ready to start BLET, and this opportunity for Rutherford County Communications came open, and I turned in my application, and lo and behold, they called me a week later. Hey, would you like to start training? And I immediately started training in July of 2006, got hired on part-time in October, full-time in March of 07, and here I am almost 13 years later.
Wow.
And dropped out of BLET, and this is it. This is my career.
Well, really quick, before for those who are listening that don't know what that stands for, what does that stand for?
The BLET?
Yes.
The basic law enforcement education.
Enforcement training.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay. When you said it the first time, I heard BLT.
Yes.
I just had a BLT for lunch too, so maybe that's why I heard that. And I thought, well, if I heard that, maybe those who are listening later on might hear that too. So that's why I asked. I just wanted to ask that. So, you know, a lot of people have said that I've talked to that, you know, they wanted to go into law enforcement first, or they wanted to go into a different branch of public safety, but they started out on dispatch and they stayed. And because it was a calling.
Yes,
that's what a lot of people have said. It's a calling,
for lack
of a better way to put it.
Yeah. I found my niche. You know, I got through the training part of it, and then I felt comfortable, and everybody, you know, was welcoming, and I wanted to be there. So when the opportunity for full time was offered, you know, shoot, why not take it?
Right.
And I'm very fortunate because I work two jobs. So I also work 911 in Polk County, which is where we're having the equestrian games, which start tomorrow.
Nice.
So as soon as we get back from the conference, you know, head right back into that as well.
So is that going to be kind of a like tactical dispatch type thing?
Yes.
Were you going to be out there for the event?
The National Guard has been called in. At Rutherford, we have a laptop that is actually able to drop calls for Polk County, you know, to work together as far as mutual aid.
Very cool. Awesome. And you've been doing it ever since?
Yes.
That's great. Susan, how about you? How did you get involved?
I got involved. Well, when I was small, all I wanted to be was an operator. Mm-hmm. You've seen all these things where it was talking on to people. That was what I wanted to be. But when I went through my divorce, I had to have a job that paid a little more. And my mom was an officer at the time. Mm-hmm. And they had a dispatch job open, so I took it. And it's been more like the operator thing. So I started at Polk in 2005. I started part-time at Rutherford in 2007. I went full-time at Rutherford in 2009. Been there ever since. But I also work part-time at Polk.
So then what year did you start at Polk then?
2005.
Okay. So then, so for the both of you, because this is always a question I like to hear feedback on, even from 2005, how has the technology changed?
Drastically.
Yeah.
Drastically. When I first started at Rutherford, you know, green as can be, not knowing anything, we had two dispatchers a shift, you know, three consoles in a circle, and, you know, you still, for training, you know, nothing was on the computer. It was color pencil to fill in about where that person was. And as far as mapping, was a huge three-ring binder, alphabetical, from every street that we had in the county listed by what section. And if I wanted to dispatch somebody, I had to flip to the B or the D and scan down.
What?
Yes. I still have that book. Because
really?
It's a good reference tool to figure out where the dividing line is.
Right.
But now we have a map. And with the E911, when the call comes in, it automatically goes.
Right.
And it's highlighted in a color and you know where to do it. Your response time as far as getting it out is a lot quicker. Whereas before, you're flipping through all the way back to Z to scan down to figure out C1, C2, you know.
You might as well be taking it. It's like it's like a rotary dial.
Yes. And it was good that I was in school that day for the alphabet. Otherwise, I'd have been screwed.
Right.
Well, Polk County, when I first started it had a box that you used for your radio, and you did not have headsets. You had one of these microphones. And you had to go in there and select which departments, and you had hit button, and that button would set off all their tones, and it was just antiquated. It was retired from Buncombe County when Polk County bought it.
Uh-huh.
So it was old before they ever bought it.
Oh, man.
See, what's interesting now is most of the centers now have to have a backup center, and our backup center has a lot of our old equipment. So we may have the headset, but we are stuck to the desk and we have to hit that button down and talk really close into it, and it's echoing, and the officers are like, we can't hear you, because we're using the old way
right
at the backup center, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Whoops. Oh man. So how often does that button get stuck then? Does it ever get stuck? And
like, quite
you got
often.
An open mic.
Just here recently, we had a fellow coworker who had, because we got new console headsets and the wireless part, mm-hmm, and hers got stuck, and she said some choice words over the radio, and everybody's calling, you know, your mic's open.
It's funny.
She said, this is bullshit.
Oh, man, that is amazing. Those are that's the type of stuff that it's good to break up the bullshit that mm-hmm can be dispatch. You know, you're dealing with all types of calls or, just admin, you know, sometimes even coming in and you're like, oh, mm-hmm, what are you bringing me now? Or QAs, you know, quality assurance, it's time for that. Oh, man, I used to hate that. I mean, I knew it's a good tool. You're supposed to do it. We need to do it. But I just would hate it because then I would immediately start thinking about all of my emergency calls and think, yeah, I got the address, but did I get the address right away? Because if not, that's 100 points off of my score right mm-hmm off the bat. Oh, man. So what about your training? What was the training like for either one of you?
I'm not sure as far as Susan. I know when I came in, it was the color pencil. It was having to write everything down. In fact, my trainer at the time, he was a police officer.
Uh-huh.
So he is still there now. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of people, you know, move on. You know, some don't stick. And he likes to, you know, take credit for the fact that, oh, I'm still there, you know, and I trained you, and, you know, you're just awesome because of me.
Of course.
You know, it's all me. You didn't do any of it. But I sat beside him day, night, mid shift, and he would basically, you know, like with you, you're it. Jump in.
Right.
You know, you screw up. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That officer calls and cusses you out. Take it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the only way that I learned. And it was, you know, you're going to screw up and it's going to happen, but I'm right here if you have that question. And that's basically how I learned.
Hey, I mean, sometimes that's the only way you can really learn something is by getting in there and doing it. What about you, Susan?
I was about the same way. You just sat down and just went to work. They explained how it went as you went. When your calls come in, you know, they just talk you through how to do it, because you just learn it on the job. Screwed
right
up a lot, give out wrong codes.
Because when I went to telecommunicator school, it was in Edneyville, and Gerald Anderson, who's actually over the conference this time, she was my instructor for the class. And we used to have to go sit in a little room with, you know, just a phone and, you know, the mic, and everybody out there from your class is giving you calls and a script. And it's very intimidating. And they film you, and, you know, they let you know if
they film you?
Yes.
Yes.
If
oh,
you
shit
pass or you fail. And they tell me that I have to read a bolo out. And then the guys out there are goofing off and they're giving me tags and 27s, and she stops the tape and she says, come on guys, you know, she can't fucking do this right now. Just just stick with the script. Stick with the script.
Oh man, that is funny. You know, I have to say this because I've noticed this. So let's see. I think it's maybe Tennessee on down and that like section of the United States.
Uh-huh.
It's a bolo. When I worked in Florida, there were bolos. When I moved back home to Southwest Michigan, and then, you know, all in the Midwest there, it's just a BOL. When I had gone to, because they don't pay attention to the lookout. It's just BOL. They consider it just the one word instead of splitting it for bolo. But I didn't know that, you know, because I'm coming from being in Florida for those 3.5 years dispatching, and we said bolos all the time. So then when I get the job over in Allegan in Michigan, they were talking about it. I said, what are you talking about? A BOL? And they said, well, I'll be on the lookout. I said, it's a bolo. And they said, where did you hear that? I said, well, this is where I used to work and this and that. And they said, oh, well, up here we say BOL. And I said, oh, I guess it's like soda and pop then.
Yeah.
You know, they don't say pop in there. Or if you're in Alabama, everything's a Coke. That was another thing that I learned over there, because I was at the Alabama conference for the first time over there, and they had asked me if I wanted something to drink, and I said, yeah, I said, I'll have a Pepsi, and they said, Ricardo, everything is a Coke here, and I said, okay, so I can't have a Pepsi even though, can I call it a Coke?
Well, and, that's like...
Thank you.
Cheer wine and liver mush. What the hell is that? I never heard of that in California.
I've never heard of that. What is this now?
Cheer wine.
Tear wine?
Cheer.
Oh, cheer. I thought, okay, I was going to say, cheer is this wine. Like when you make someone cry and put in a wine glass? Like,
cheer
wine.
Cheer wine and liver mush. I didn't know what the hell that was coming here. I'd never experienced it.
Huh.
So that's something that is not in California, or like Cracker Barrel. When we moved here, from California,
yes.
Honestly, we thought it was a furniture store.
Oh.
We bypassed so many of them.
Well,
starving.
I guess it does kind of look like one. I mean, they have all the damn rocking chairs sitting outside.
Have you seen every exit in Tennessee when you go has a Cracker Barrel? Every single exit.
Yes.
And see, when we moved here, we drove from California to North Carolina. So we passed by so many of them, and it was like, well, we're starving, but that's furniture. That's furniture. That's furniture.
Little
did we know it was actually a restaurant. So on September 11th, I was in California, and I had just graduated high school, and I had no way to get home. So I had to drive. And I met my mother in Kansas, and she had a map of Cracker Barrel. And that is what we hit from Kansas to North Carolina, was every freaking Cracker Barrel that you can imagine. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Snack.
Chicken dumplings.
Oh, my God. I mean, and she just said, oh, yep, this exit here, we have it starred. Let's go.
Wow. That's crazy. So the terms that you used just a little bit ago, are those ones that you've heard on 911 as well?
Which terms?
What terms?
Well, when you were just right now, the tear wine?
The cheer wine.
Yeah, cheer wine. That or what
drink.
Was the other one?
Liver mush.
Liver mush,
it's
yes.
It's a food.
Well, that's why I'm saying, if you had never heard it before, did you hear that on 911 at all? Or is there anything similar that you've heard that might have thrown you off? So let me give you an example.
Okay.
When I moved back home and I was working for the Central Dispatch Center, I had a guy
call. I'm blonde. You have to break this down for me. So come on.
I had this guy call and say that he was waiting at the cop shop. And I said, you're waiting where? And he said, the cop shop. And I said, the cop shop? And he goes, yeah, the cop shop. I'm waiting here for an officer to come and talk to me.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm sorry. Do you know the address? And he goes, no, I don't know the address of the cop shop. And I said, okay, so is this like a bar or a restaurant? Because I'd never heard that term before. He was saying the cop shop, the police department, the cop shop.
I wouldn't have put that together.
I wouldn't have either.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you get the some of the food calls, you know, they didn't put my bacon on my burger and, you know, I need a police officer out here to fix this. You know, they didn't put the liver mush on my sandwich and left it out. I need them to come out here and fix it.
Oh my gosh. You know, I've never heard of liver mush before. This is awesome.
You know, they
is it really?
Yes. Oh, it's nice. Delicious. All right. I mean, I've been knocking it the whole time, but it's really good.
That's funny. Oh man. Okay, so really quick, you know, you've both gone through your training and you're ready to go. You walk into dispatch and what does it look like to you? You go to sit down at your console. What does it look like?
Do then
you have
or
multiple
then? Then at the time when I started at Rutherford, it was a circle and it had ugly, dirty, stained patches of rug around it with a big hole in the center that hadn't been cleaned probably since the 1800s. And it was three people sitting around and you had soundproof, you know, barriers all right. around you. And we just had screens that kind of, you know, fanned out around us. That was all you were at. And, you know, dare you try to turn real quick and talk to somebody, you're either falling out of the chair because you're still connected to the desk, or you're smacking your, you know, yourself in the face with the computer because it's surrounding you.
Yeah.
You know, I had to learn that the hard way. I almost lost an eye.
Oh, man. That would have sucked. I had a pirate dispatcher. Yeah. Answer it all with R.
I don't know how it was at Polk. Yeah. It might still be the same now because...
Yeah, how was it for you? Like, you go and you sit down. Are there multiple screens? I mean, you were talking about the huge radio, so we know about the radio.
Yeah, they had... I want to say there was two screens at the time, but they were like the big computer monitors like everybody used to have in their homes.
The CRT monitors, yes, the ones with the junk in the trunk?
Yes, that was... And after 11 o'clock at night, I was by myself. And if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to turn off all the lights in the room because they hummed.
Oh, really?
And so you don't have headsets. So you're literally having to run away from the phones, the radio, everything. And you leave the door open and you shut off the lights and you just run. You literally run to the bathroom, use the bathroom. And if somebody says something while you're, you know, using the bathroom, they're just... just hold on, I'm hurrying.
You know, when I first started out in Frostproof in Florida, it was similar. I mean, it was just one person. I was the only person there for 8 hours. And if I had to go to the bathroom, I'd have to key up and say, you know, Frostproof to 108. Go ahead, Frostproof. I'm going to be 10-7 down the hall a moment. 10-4. And go do my thing. And people could walk in and they would be waiting there. So, you know, I'd be coming out of the bathroom and walking up to it back, and there's someone standing there with their eyes wide open, like, oh shit, did they hear me? Or what happened? What's going on?
I could lock the doors, and I generally always just lock the doors.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things, lock the doors, turn off the lights, and then go. But, you know, if they was to go 1072, you know, while you're sitting there using the bathroom, it's like, ah. Hey, I remember that.
Yeah. What was the time?
Or God forbid a chase starts and you're having to call it while you're in there.
Right. How crazy is that?
You can't because you don't have no access to radio there.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. So, yeah. Yeah, and so for us, it was either 10-7 or Code Brown.
Well, we never said anything. We just went because if you said something, they would call out everything in the book while you was in there just...
And
nice.
Just to show how much it's changed, especially like at our center right now. So it went from those three desks to where we have the whole room as of last summer was renovated, brand new furniture, equipment, and we have seven in there now, and they're spread out around the room.
Oh.
So it's definitely increased. We are the main dispatch center. So we are operational with seven of us during the day, minimum down to three after 3 a.m. And then sometimes during the day, we have call takers and have three at the backup.
Oh, man. See, so my center for the there in the county, we had three on at a time. And we ran the whole county with everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
We never went under three. Three was the minimum. And then the most we would have is four. We had a fifth console for like a supervisor. but we weren't staffed enough to be able to fill all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the majority of the time, there would be just three of us. So mm-hmm. that gives me a pretty good idea then with you guys having, you know, seven on and such at a time. I guess how busy does it get then? Is it pretty crazy?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
Just we have from the moment you get there?
We have five law enforcement agencies that we dispatch for. We dispatch for all of fire and EMS. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, mutual aid, of course, with like Polk County and Cleveland County around us. So, you know, everybody is doing something. Everybody has a channel. Everybody has an assignment for that day. And, you know, everybody actually works very, very well together.
That's awesome.
When they come in, you know, they split the shifts down to have enough coverage, and it actually works out very well now.
Sweet.
We got 17 fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fire departments to deal with, along with the
mm-hmm.
two rescues and the EMS bases. So,
is that for Polk then?
No, it's for Rutherford.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, because you said you still work at Polk as well every now and then, right?
Yeah, part-time for Polk.
How big of the area do they cover?
It's a small area. It's uh-huh. not a lot, 20,000 people. It's a small area. It's compared that to Rutherford. It's
Rutherford, which is 650 square miles.
Something like that.
It's
like
very
that.
Large. So it's very large, and we've, you know, definitely grown, what is it, to... population, what, 93,000 now?
Yeah.
To where when I moved here in 98, it was 60.
Dang.
Yeah, so we have definitely grown.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what about some of your calls? What are some of the calls that you remember? I mean, do you remember your first call? If mm-hmm. not, maybe a call that has stuck with you or a funny one?
You know, there are several, you know, because it's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
yeah.
you say, some people ask you, you know, what's the funniest, what's the worst? Oh, you probably hear some crazy things. You know, for our area, I probably know a hell of a lot more than I want to.
Right.
And everybody knows everybody. And unfortunately, you go to Walmart and you see, well, that person called last night and I know what happened and so-and-so sleeping with so-and-so.
Right.
But my first 911 call was pick up 911, you know, first day out of training. And I just got home from a fishing trip and I ran over and killed my 2-year-old son in the driveway.
Oh my God.
Very first day, you know, then I have to get up and go outside, and it was like, is it going to be like this every day?
Right.
You know, maybe not every day, but yes.
Jeez. And that was just like, you know, me when I was talking about that earlier, you know, that was my first one that it came in. The real major one was,
mm-hmm.
you know, something horrific.
Yeah. And it was
and
horrific.
You as well.
And, you know, that family is still in our community, and, you know, we know him and everybody knows of him. And it was definitely very hard for that first day coming out of training to sit down and say, this is what I'm going to be experiencing every day. This is what I'm listening to.
Right.
It's very hard to wrap your head around.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Not many people can do it, and not a lot of people understand it
mm-hmm.
either. And then, you know, when you're struggling.
Yes.
Sometimes people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Susan?
A couple of years ago, I took a call. It was the 20th anniversary of my daughter passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 6 when she died. And I answered the phone on her 20th anniversary of her death. And it is a child that's in cardiac arrest. That one messed with me pretty bad.
Now, with that, do you guys have like any stress management in place or anything? You know, because I mean, that definitely is a trigger, you know, for you personally.
They offer counseling. We can go to a different county and they offer, the sheriff's office will pay for it. You go to counseling. It's strictly private. They do not report back to your agency. And you can go and you can talk for however long you need to try to work through it. And then if you need additional counseling, you know, say, hey, we recommend this. These are some people that I recommend, you know, or hey, I don't need it. Thank you for your time. We do have that when we have major incidents. We have debriefings, which help, and they also offer the counseling. So that option is there.
That's good.
They kept coming in that day and during that call, and they kept trying to get me to hand it over. Just hand it over, and I said, no, no, you've got to get this. and they got the child back, and he's still alive. But, you know, I just had to go through it. I could not make myself let go of that mom.
Right.
During that time.
You know, it's, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That is, I don't know how the both of you are, but I'm the type of person who believes that, you know, things happen for a reason. And maybe it was meant for you to be that person, to take that call for that mom, because you knew what that person was going through. Just like when I said earlier in the day, you know, when I took the call from my grandmother passing away, the odds of me taking that call were crazy, only because I was on backup phones and my partner was on main phones, and she got up to go and get something to drink. And as soon as that door shut, the phone rang and the hair in the back of my neck stood up, because my grandmother was in hospice care. So we knew she was close, but I didn't know how close. So then when the phone rang, I hesitated, and I never hesitated before, but I hesitated this time. And if you wait on that old phone system, if you wait for that first ring, the information pops up on the screen, and then, you know, you can mm-hmm. go ahead and get it. But most of the time we would just pick it up and let it come in afterward. But I waited, and it was my mom's cell phone number that came up. But I realized that it was meant to be that way, because my grandmother had been with me throughout my entire life from the beginning. So it was fitting that I was there for her in the end. Mm-hmm. So again, thank you very much for sharing that. You know, as we go into the wrap up of this episode, is this your first time here at this conference, or have you been to it?
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are listening to this episode, just to kind of build a little more of a buzz for this conference for next year, hopefully there isn't another hurricane coming your way next year. But going into the wrap up of this, just, I guess, from what you guys have learned, what you've seen today, and what you're looking forward for the rest of the time that you guys are here, you know, what is that? Why should people come to this conference?
I mean, so far I have taken away not only meeting the new people, but coming to your class this morning. It is very eye-opening. And when I realized that what you were sharing on the screen today about the IM911, I've been sharing that for days. And I've been getting reactions from people. You know, I can't imagine what you're hearing. And you know, oh, well, this, and the stories coming from other people, and it's amazing. And it made me think of the two things of the reason I am 911. Can I share that?
Of course.
That it was, you know, I had to help relay to an officer who had to translate to a mother that her 2-year-old child, who had fallen over 50 feet, had been located and was deceased. I can still hear those screams, and that was in 2007.
Wow.
But then on the other hand, 3 months ago, I delivered a baby at work, and I heard those first cries from that baby boy, and I walked them through that. So there was life that was taken away, but here was another one that was brought in, and I helped with both of those, however sad or however happy. This today has brought back my reason why I am here.
Thank you very much for sharing that. What about you, Susan? You and this conference, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
I like the fact that whenever you get to hear where everybody else is going through the same things, and you can kind of commiserate with each other, laugh about the same things, your mind's kind of on the same mindset. And it's just kind of easy to kind of relax and let go of a few of the stresses at the moment that you have, because everybody else has got the same thing.
Excellent. No, definitely. Thank you both very much for being this episode. And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and your favorite podcasting app, as well as the newly launched withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.